read some familiar words, familiar verses from these verses, a very well-known circumstance in the time of Jesus with his disciples here on earth. Matthew 8, beginning at verse 23, when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Father and our Lord in heaven, we ask tonight that you would indeed move among us through your Holy Spirit, that you would open our ears of faith to receive your message, to help us to understand, Lord, that all Scripture is given by your direct revelation, by your direct inspiration, and that it's profitable to us, and that as we have read it this evening, and as we look at the words that are printed here, that we would find that message that you want for us this evening. Help me to speak and to be directed by your Spirit. Help me, Father, to bring the things that you want us to understand. And we'll be careful, Lord, to give you the praise in Jesus' name and amen. Now, the background of this passage of Scripture in the earlier part of the chapter, we find that Jesus had been in the city of Capernaum and had there healed Peter's mother-in-law. He had gone out, got on the ship. Scripture says that there was a great storm. One of the things that we need to understand about that the storm on the sea that night was the location of where that sea was. That was the Sea of Galilee. Now, the Sea of Galilee is a very prominent body of water in the history of the New Testament. A lot of things happened around the Sea of Galilee. But keep in mind that the Sea of Galilee would pretty much fit between Brooklyn and Statesboro. It's 14 miles long north to south and about 8 miles wide east to west. So it's not the biggest body of water. But where it sits is in the valley with mountains on both sides. And when the storm comes, when the storms come through, the winds very much are like a funnel right down between that valley, between those mountains. And if you happen to be out on that water when that wind is coming across in a strong way, you get caught. And when we think about the entering into a ship, we're not talking about a ship that's like the Queen Mary or something of that nature. We're talking about something more closely akin to a shrimping boat that goes out off of the coast. And it was not all of that large. And if it gets caught in that water, it becomes very treacherous and very dangerous. And so they began to cry for Jesus to save them. And Jesus rebuked them for being of little faith, and then rebuked the winds and the waves. And as we look at this passage, I don't want to think so much about the miracle specifically of him calming the water tonight. I want to think for just a moment about the statement that was made by the disciples when they watched him calm the seas. When he said, Peace be still, and both the winds and the waves stopped, and there was a great calm. There was a very sudden change. There was a very large difference. It wasn't just that it calmed down a little bit. It was a noted difference. I thought about this afternoon as I was thinking about that portion of the sentence that said there was a great calm. I like to watch golf matches on television from time to time. I can sit down and they move at my pace, and they often put me to sleep. But I was sitting there yesterday for a few moments, and the place that they were doing it had winds blowing about 30 to 35 miles an hour, and they were bad enough that they made them stop playing the golf match for a while. When it calmed down enough for them to play, it was still blowing 25 miles an hour, but they had calmed down enough to play. What I want you to see is when Jesus spoke to the winds, it didn't calm a little bit. It didn't cut by a third. It stopped. And it stopped at the sound of his voice. It didn't gradually die down. They had watched him heal Peter's mother-in-law just a short while before. They had seen him do other miracles. But they didn't really understand the power of this man. And the question that came from them is a question I want you to consider with me about four different thoughts tonight. What manner of man is this Jesus? What manner of man is this? Jesus' voice spoke. First thing, his voice was a voice that was strong enough that even the winds and the waves at their most violent had to obey him. He was the creator. It wasn't just that he spoke and hoped they would obey him. He spoke and they had to obey him. And I thought about the sound of the voice of the Lord that spoke when the Ten Commandments were given to Israel. They were gathered around the base of Mount Sinai. And there was that voice that spoke from heaven. And all 10 of those commandments were audibly given. And when the last one had been given, they went to the elders of Israel went to Moses, and they said, Moses, you go up and talk to God. If we hear his voice anymore, we're going to die. That was the authority, that was the power, that was the impact of the voice of the Lord. And yet his voice, that same voice, was a voice that spoke to an individual in a calming and comforting way. And I thought particularly about the record that we're given in the book of Luke, in Luke chapter 19, about a man named Zacchaeus. Luke chapter 19, verse 4. Now, that we're told in verse 2 that there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans. Now, that basically meant he was the principal tax collector. And he was rich. But one thing that we're told about him is that he was small in stature. He was not able to see around and over other people. He ran, verse 4 says, he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him pass. For he, that is Jesus, was to pass that way. Here was a vulnerable man. Here was a man whose word was law, in terms of the taxes and the charges that could be made against people in the city. Here was a man who worked for Rome, but here was a man who had to crawl up in a tree to be able to see because others were bigger than he was. Here was a man who stood or found himself sitting in a tree. And verse 5 says, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. First of all, Jesus didn't punch one of the disciples and say, who's that guy up in the tree? He didn't have to wait till somebody knocked a limb off in front of him and look up in surprise. He came to the place where Zacchaeus was, and he called him by name. And he called him directly, and he called him in such a way to say, I'm coming to your house. You see, folks, the power of the voice of Jesus was such that creation had to obey him. But the love of the man Jesus for those for whom he would die was such that his voice was tempered with compassion, with mercy, and with purpose. What manner of man is this that could calm the raging winds and the rising waves, and yet could speak in compassion to a man who was a sinner? Because Zacchaeus later admitted that he had wronged people. But Jesus didn't threaten him. Jesus didn't intimidate him. Jesus didn't surprise him with his volume. Jesus drew him with the sound of his voice. Single voice given directly to one man. Marvel is that for us, like Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was separated from the Lord. Yeah, he was a sinner. He was separated that way too. But the sense was, he was up in a tree. And he thought he was far enough away that he really wouldn't be noticed. The people wouldn't look up and see him. And yet Jesus spoke to one who was separated from him. He speaks to us. What manner of man is this that controls all of creation? Folks, COVID virus is not beyond his control. The ice storm in Texas is not beyond his control. The winds of a hurricane is not beyond his control. His power is the same as it was that day on the boat in the Sea of Galilee. But you and I are not beyond his voice and beyond his compassion. That which separates us from him is sin. And his compassion calls us while we're in that sin. What manner of man is a man who speaks both with power and yet with compassion? What manner of man? What manner of wisdom? Jesus is a man. Jesus is a man today, the man Christ Jesus, the risen man. When he was on the earth, he taught great multitudes. His voice reached great multitudes. There was one occasion when he was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and he got Peter and John to let him use one of their boats and push out just a little bit where he could talk to all the multitude that was on the shore. And they all heard him speak. There was another occasion when there were 5,000 men that were seated where he was teaching. And he fed them. He blessed the bread. And you know what? I think every one of them that was there heard his voice blessing the bread. And yet this man with wisdom to teach multitudes was a man who had time to take one child and set him in his lap and to speak to him. Look with me, if you would, in Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, verse 14. There was parents that brought their children, their young children, to Jesus. They brought the children that Jesus would touch them, and the disciples forbade them. The disciples stopped. He ain't got time for these kids. He's got things to do. He's got a multitude to teach. And Jesus said, suffer little children. Allow them. Allow the little children, and forbid them not to come to me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. There was another occasion when he was teaching being like a little child, and he took one child and picked him up and set him on his lap. You see, the wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ reaches and applies to whole congregations, applies to whole multitudes. And yet he doesn't speak to us in an impersonal way. His voice is directed to our hearts personally. You know, when you hear the Lord speaking to you through his word, you might as well be, if I could say it that way, you might as well be the only person in the auditorium when he's speaking, because he's talking straight to you as you are his little child. He draws you to himself. He lays his hand of mercy upon you. Here is a man who can do marvelous things, and yet he's got time for me. What manner of man? Kings don't have time for common people. The well-known don't have time to stop for an unknown. But here was the Creator who could calm the seas, who had time for a single child. He had time for you. What manner of man? Jesus was a man that loved truth and righteousness. And yet, Jesus was a man who loved sinners. He didn't love the sin, but he loved sinner. A contrast in the book of John. John chapter 2, verses 13, 14, 15, and 16. Jesus goes into the temple and he sees what's going on. The Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. He found all of this going on inside the temple. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. And he said to them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. There was a place for oxen, because there were those who could bring oxen to be offered. Sheep that were to be offered on the altar outside of the temple, at the gate to the entrance of the temple. Jesus, God and Jesus being one and the same God in heaven, God had said to Israel, you take your animal, if you live a long way away, rather than drive that animal and risk damaging the animal and being unable offering that animal as your sacrifice, sell that animal, bring the money, buy an equivalent animal when you get to Jerusalem and offer it. You see, buying an animal for a sacrifice was within the bounds of God's law, but not in the temple. You bought it somewhere else and brought it to the temple. You didn't bring business into the temple. Jesus overturned the tables, poured out the money, ran all of them out, because his house was a house of prayer. But this same Jesus in that same temple had a woman taken in the act of adultery, brought to him and pushed in front of him. John chapter 8. Early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him. Now where is he? He's in the temple. Same place from which he had run all of the money changers and all out. He valued that house as a house of prayer. That was his father's house. But they brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. When they'd set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that we should be stoned, that she such should be stoned. What sayest thou? This said they, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said to them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And he stooped down again and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convinced by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Jesus lifted up himself and said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said to her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You see, here was a man who loved righteousness. But here was a man who loved sinners enough that he would die, that his righteousness would be counted unto them. You see, he knew where he was going to be. He knew what was going to happen to him. He knew why it was going to happen to him. This woman wasn't being given a blank check to go. He instructed her that she was to go and sin no more. But what was going to happen about her sin? Why wasn't she condemned to die? Because he was going to die for her. He loved righteousness. But here was a man who loved us enough to die to become our righteousness. A man whose voice would calm the waters and yet speak with compassion. A man who could teach multitudes, but yet would pay attention to one single child. A man who was righteous in all that he did, and yet loved his people enough to die for their righteousness. Now you put those three things together. You think the disciples weren't in awe when they looked at Jesus and said, What manner? He's not like us. He's like nobody else. You see, folks, when we come down to it, here's a man who is like no other man. He's like every man in that he is in a body. He has a human body. He has all of the components of our humanity, but without sin. He got hungry. He got sleepy. He got tired. He was just like all of us. And yet he was like none of us. Look in John chapter 7. Verse 46. The Pharisees, the priest had sent a group of people to arrest Jesus. And they came back without him. John chapter 7, verse 46, verse 45, the officers came to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said to them, Why have you not brought him? And the officers answered, Never man spake like this man. Never a man spake like this man, Jesus. There have been religious leaders all through history But never has there been a man like Jesus Christ. There were those that taught as philosophers, but never has there been a man with the wisdom like Jesus Christ. There have been those who were men in authority, but never has there been a man with the authority of God come in the flesh. Never has there been a man who spake like Jesus. When he was hanging on the cross, Matthew chapter 27 tells us that as the Roman centurion watched Jesus die, as he hung on the cross and he cried, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit," the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done. They feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Never a man spake like Jesus, because never has there been a man like Jesus, because Jesus is God the Son. Jesus is God come in the flesh. Now, let me ask you tonight, it's one thing for us to have read these stories over and over and over and over. We've read them again and again and again. But think about those men who watched it happen, and to use our catchphrase of our day today, watched it happen in real time. And they'd never seen anything like it. What did Jesus say to them? He said, "Follow me." You see, folks, if God has blessed us to understand that He is the one who has power to control His creation, and yet who has compassion to touch the heart of a man who is fallen in that creation, if He has the wisdom to teach multitudes, but the patience to take one, if He has the righteousness to please the Father, and yet the righteousness to wrap around me and you, because He's the Son of God, then what does that mean to us? That means to hear Him. That means to believe Him. That means to follow Him. That means to trust Him. There is none other. What manner is of a man is Jesus? He's the singular one who is Christ the Anointed. Oh, beloved, may we believe Him enough to do what He commands. May we trust Him enough to follow, even when we don't understand. May we love Him enough to do, even sometimes when we don't feel like we can. What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey Him? May we go home tonight knowing that the Jesus that we serve 2,000 years later is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's the same man. He sits at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us. But that man still touches our lives. He still puts us, as it were, in His lap. He still gives us His righteousness. Father, Your Son is like none other man. May we see Him as the one who is above all else, a name that is exalted above every name, that at His name we would bow. We say sometimes that every knee would bow, Lord, the one knee that we need to bend before Him tonight is our own. Help us to rejoice in who He is, and at the same time to be humbled in who He is, and to serve Him because of who He is. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen.